Hello, kiddies. Are you ready for a story? I am the storyteller, or at least that's what they used to call me in the scrubs. Anyway, if you like stories about fat birds, you love this one. Yes, it's time to visit Fairyland. No, not BBC Light Ent. I'm talking about the magical land where wise King Oberon lives.
I'm Oberon, the Fairyland King. I'm here to do my mother f***ing thing. I live here with my hose in the palace. I'm wickedly fly. I have a large phallus. The pad was designed by Rupert the Bear. Bedrooms are nice, but the bog's open air.
Fairyland is also where Ken and Dong the Pixie Friends live, and me, Woody the Maladjusted Dwarf. I'm off the booze now, and I've got my old job back chopping wood. The counselling is really helping me learn to respect myself, but I think it'll be a long time before I get my babysitting licence again. This week's story deals with fairy social issues like sexism, long-term unemployment and VD. VD in Fairyland stands for Vandalised Daffodils, which usually happens when wood sprites get whacked off their bonts on conker wine. So here goes, kiddies. This story is called The Tale of the Depressed Misanthrope Pixie. Once upon a time, Ken Winkle...
That is I. Hubba hubba, kids.
...and Dong Dingle...
I suppose that's me. Enchantment on your dudes.
...went to the Pixie Job Centre. Fairyland had been experiencing a short-term recession due to the fact that a major lollipop factory had relocated to the sweet shops of Toy Town. Ken and Dong, keen to find something in the fashion industry, looked on the board for something relatively suitable.
What did I tell you, Dong? All they've got is stupid Santa jobs.
Well, Ken, it's good honest toil. Look at this one.
Bauble peckers required. No experience necessary. Training in handling delicate balls will be given.
Nice. Here's one for you.
Do you like trees? If yes, we have the job for you, chopping them down.
Terms and conditions apply, must have own axe.
Damn, that's tempting. But not as tempting as this one.
Working outdoors mainly to skin cancer. So why not join Santa's happy band of lead miners? Flexible hours and as much lead as you can carry make this an ideal career for anyone interested in lead.
Number 37.
That's me.
What's your name, please?
Trinkle Dinkle Trousers.
What sort of work are you looking for, Mr. Trousers?
Gynecology, please.
No, nothing like that, I'm afraid. We've got a job helping Santa.
Yeah, all right then.
Do you spend hours choking your chicken? Santa says turn that hobby into hard cash. Turkey throttlers required, must have strong wrist.
Well, that sounds like the job for me.
Let's go and see what they can do.
I'm right behind you, Dong.
Next, please.
Hello, miss. What have you got in the way of non-Christmas related work?
I say, I was next in line. You just pushed in.
Who tickled your toadstool?
He's right, Dong. You just pushed in.
Oh, well, I'd better get to the back then.
But before you do, would you allow me to go in front of you?
Please be my guest.
Why, thank you. It's so nice to see manners in young people these days. Now then, miss.
Look, lad, I'm a hedge wizard.
Hedge wizard? You sound like some sort of plant food.
If you don't get to the back of the queue, I shall be forced to use my magic on you.
And I thought the magic had gone out of our relationship.
Watch it, Ken. The hedgerow wizard is getting his wand out.
It's hedge, not hedgerow, you dirty little urchin.
You shouldn't get that out in public.
I'm not worried, Dong. I'm sure he's strictly hedgerow sexual.
Right. You asked for it. You asked for it.
Was that it?
I don't know what went wrong. You're supposed to turn into a small dog.
You hear that, Dong? I'm supposed to be a small dog.
Woof.
And so it was that Ken and Dong got to the front of the job centre queue. At the desk was a beautiful young fairy called Elaine. She had long corn-coloured hair and a series of love bites off an elf what had fixed the photocopier.
Me and Dong here are looking for work in the area of either nuclear physics or fruit selling.
Here, is that your weasel?
That's not a weasel, that's a dog.
I was talking to the dog.
Actually, the dog is a pixie. He's just been interfered with by an edge wizard.
I'd avoid mystics if I were you.
Nothing wrong with your sticks.
A mystic once tried to bewitch me in a theatre.
Big aisle.
No, but the ceiling was very high.
You know, if you ever want to see an edge wizard in a theatre, you just call Thicketmaster.
Look, the job centre isn't a fit place for dogs.
We've noticed.
A dog savaged a munchkin once by the water cooler. It's the confinement that does it.
Don't worry about Dong. He's just had a tramp on the common.
You're quite strong looking for a pixie. I might just have a job for you and your hound.
Does it involve Christmas puddings?
Nope.
Then we'll take it.
And that was our Kenneth Dong got a job of plumbing in the Royal Bog, which had seemingly become blocked. Next morning at the crack of dawn, the two pixies were hard at work making a cup of tea.
What was it like being a dog?
Well, there were certain aspects of personal washing that were quite nice.
And did you enjoy playing with other dogs?
Yes. I met a collie who said his owner had no nose.
How did he smell?
Well, his crotch smelled great.
Greetings, peasants. I am Chancellor Goon. I look after the affairs of the king, and in my spare time, I put weed killer on flowerpot men. You have been hired to unblock the royal convenience. If you fix it, you will be rewarded with a bag of sweets. If you fail, I will personally cut out your intestines and make a pâté with them.
Sounds fair.
Which I will then feed to you before chopping your head off with a plastic picnic knife.
Well, okay, but we insist on an hour for lunch.
And use of the sauna.
The king is a regular man. If this isn't done by tea time, you know what will happen.
He looked like he hadn't been for a week.
Meanwhile, Trixabelle and Sugarplum, two local fairies, fluttered down in front of Ken's toadstool house. They were both hard up and were calling on the off chance. Unfortunately, Ken was out fixing pipes. So Ken's mother answered the door, holding the family pet, which was a chicken called Chuck. Tried to visualise, innit? A bleeding chicken.
I guess you'll just have to use your imagination.
Hello, Mrs. Winkle. Hello, Chuck. Is Ken at home?
Sorry, love. He's finally pulled his finger out and got himself a job.
Job?
I know. Hard to believe. And this is the guy who was too lazy to keep up a hobby of collecting dust.
How long has he been out of work?
Gee, I don't know, Trixabelle. You'd have to take a look at his birth certificate.
Me and Sugarplum were wondering if Ken and Dong wanted to take us out tonight.
We both freeze it happens.
Well, I shouldn't think so. Ken generally likes his fares a bit more on the lean side.
Dong is less choosy.
Are you saying Trixabelle is fat?
No, she's just storing up for winter. You're fat, though.
She is not!
I'm afraid she is, Trixabelle, and she leaves you in the shade. I mean that literally.
Oh, you horrible chicken! She's a lovely girl. Why don't any pixies ever ask her out? She's not that big.
So why don't she go off the ground? Ken calls her the Flying Fortress.
It's true. Once we all went to bed because we thought it was night. Turned out it was only Sugarplum flying in front of the sun.
Oh, what a rotten thing to say!
I have feelings.
Is it true you go to Brobdingnag to buy your underwear?
Good literary allusion, chicken.
Oh, well, thank you.
I'd have thought in this day and age, pixies wouldn't be so judgmental.
We only wanted to go to the pictures.
Oh, interesting. I heard that when they ran out of screens at the Pixie Flicks Film Festival, they asked if they could use your rear end to show When Harry Met Nardi.
Her bottom is no bigger than mine.
Well, yours is quite big too, I suppose.
Yeah, and not as far as Sugar Plums.
No, yours is sort of Academy format, whereas hers is widescreen.
Yeah. When you're swaying side to side, you just get a breeze.
Hers brings the tide in.
You're horrible, both of you. I'm going. We wouldn't go out with your lazy, good-for-nothing son now if he begged us.
Well, goodbye then.
Call again soon.
At this point in the tale, we must introduce the subplot. Over in the palace gardens, the princess was sat by a pond looking at her beautiful, curvaceous reflection. When a slimy fish pops its head out of the water and says,
Hello, darling.
Our handsome prince, who has been chained into a slimy fish by a wicked witch.
You what?
I must kiss you and release you from your curse.
All right, love, if you insist on everything.
Oh, nothing happened.
Well, these things take time, don't they?
Yes, 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 they do, yes. You must come and live in the palace and inherit my father's kingdom.
Ah, oh, smashing!
Oh, what joy. Finally, I'll be married.
Well, let's not rush into anything. Look, about this inheritance. Well, the thing is, like...
This is certainly blocked.
Did you know you have poop in your hair?
Perhaps I should use bleach.
Or you could just comb it out.
No, this is beyond bleach, Dong. I stuffed one of the royal cherubs down a U-bend just to find out if it could see what was wrong. And it got sucked in.
Well, that's probably what's blocking it up.
Perhaps we should send our chicken down after it. Except we could tie some string to it so that we can pull it back if it gets in trouble.
That's a terrible idea. But it's going to be funny to watch.
So Ken went home to fetch Chuck the chicken. It wasn't easy getting a chicken to come along, and a certain amount of coercion and cruelty occurred. I've been on the inside, and let me tell you something, kiddies. No one volunteers for slop-out duty.
Oh, you're back.
Yep, I got the chicken. Now, Chuck, the real reason I brought you here...
Wait, there's no eternal birdseed machine?
We have a blockage here in the loo pipes, and we need someone small to go down and plant an explosive.
Hey, wake up and smell a toilet duck already.
It's not so bad.
There's no way you're putting me down there.
Get out the window, Dong. You may well struggle.
Hey, are you nuts?
Get down there.
This won't work. Chickens hate dark places. When was the last time you saw a chicken in a jazz club?
And so, Chuck the Chicken set off on his subterranean adventure. He bravely navigated through the ancient sewer, tiptoeing through the tulips until he came to the blockage. What lay ahead surprised the chicken so much he almost had an accident himself. He quickly laid the explosive charge and ran back to Ken and Dong.
He's coming back up.
You're not going to believe what's up.
What?
You remember when that stretch of coastline collapsed and they found a community of Muppets living underground?
I do.
Well, this is way worse than that. It's some kind of scatological daytime talk show.
Hi, and tonight on The Brain Show, we have someone who's perhaps done more for the sewer than any one individual you could care to name. He's a very special guest. Please don't evacuate. I hope he won't bomb. Drop everything and welcome the lower intestinal tract. So, hi, is that stool comfortable?
Yep, good and soft. I'll just plop myself down.
Now, you've always seemed pretty regular to me, but I know you have a tenacious nature.
I guess I do like to get to the bottom of things.
But what are you like behind closed doors?
Some say I'm easily wound up. I guess that's true. But I don't believe in just looking after number one.
Some have said you're unpleasant company.
I do get seriously browned off, but that's mostly just a lot of hot air.
Now, you're a big fan of the Beatles, is that right?
I'm into the whole 60s movement.
Any favourites? Within you, without you, Helter Skelter?
Yeah, We Can Work It Out, The Long and Winding Road.
Now, you have a book out, don't you?
It's more of a log, really. It's been in the pipeline for a while. I managed to squeeze it out between two big jobs I was doing in the West End. It's about my experiences of colonic irrigation. Actually, I just sold the cable rights.
Well, I hope it's not a washout. Now, one last question before you do your big number. I heard that if you unraveled yourself, you'd be more than 20 metres long. Is this true?
Actually, Terry, I'd stretch all the way to Uranus.
How did I know you were going to say that? Intestinal tract, it's been a wipeout. Ladies and gentlemen, the lower intestine.
Well, I suppose we better press the plunger and blow the lot out of the way.
I'll do the honours.
That definitely sounds like it's heading this way.
No, it's just...
Probably best if we go for a tea break.
I'll go buy some milk.
The king is here, and he seeks news on your progress.
Your Majesty.
What's that noise?
I'm afraid your shitter is blocked by a daytime talk show.
Oh, good. Is it this morning with Hansel and Gretel?
Whatever it is, we just dynamited it, and my guess is we should
dive.
Oh, dear. I appear to be covered in excrement.
Yep, it looks good, though. And brown definitely works for you.
Do you know what's good for getting poop out of ermine?
Feed them rhubarb all day, then squeeze them.
Very well done, gentlemen. You've got an hour left to sort this all out. I'm off to have my instruments unsharpened in anticipation. Covering the king in plop is already a capital offence, but on a purely personal level, I'm interested to see what else you can do.
Oh, dear. That one went all over your chicken.
Can I just say at this point that if any other radio shows out there, Front Row or Woman's Hour, have regular work for a chicken, I am absolutely available. Please just get in touch. You can call my agent on 0967-798-8903.
Walter, help, I'm dying. You stupid cow, you can't keep a fish wrapped in a newspaper. Fish need water.
Oh, I'm sorry. I can be such an idiot. God, get some water. Sparkling or still?
I don't want a drink, you stupid bin.
His Majesty, the King.
Hello, Princess. Sorry about the smell. The bog exploded again.
Father, I have fallen in love with this fish, and I wish to marry him.
You can't marry a fish, you twit.
Oh, I'm dying.
Father, I am decided, for I am in love.
Look, your Uncle Neptune married a fish, and look what happened to him. His kids were bloody freaks, half human and half haddock. You have them round for dinner, and they just flap about on the floor, gasping and singing calypso tunes. And that stupid pet lobster they took everywhere, the chef never got over that. No, I can't bear to think of you that way.
My fish is different, Father. He's a prince who was cursed by a witch who caught him trespassing in her private forest.
I'm not a bloody prince. I'm a mullet.
I suppose he is nicer than some of the primates you go out with. But where would we hold the wedding? In the bloody moat?
I think this is it. The lights are dimming.
Look, put him in the bath for the night, and if you still feel the same in the morning, then I'll think about it.
Oh, thank God. Someone with some sense. Put me in the bath. Please.
Father, these are modern times, and I intend to take my fish to my gas-heated, triple-glazed bedroom.
Please, no.
Kids these days. Here, with you marrying the princess, perhaps the mullet will become fashionable again, eh?
Oh, God, help me.
I hope I get lots of fish turning up at my wedding.
And I hope you get crabs too.
Oh, Mother, don't scrub so hard. You're taking the bloody skin off.
Down at the raw sea, I should scrub you raw.
Pass the soap, would you, Chuck?
Stop making waves, would you? My head keeps going up the cold tap.
Hurry up, Mother. We've got an hour left to get back and finish the job.
I won't have the neighbours saying my son walks around covered in shit. Now then, Arken.
Yeah?
Would you ever think of walking out with Sugar Plum or Trixabelle? And they came a-calling for you this afternoon?
Yeah.
You would?
You would, eh?
Possibly. If, for example, I'd had a course of ECT, lost all sensory perception in my upper head, had my eyes gouged out with a spoon, and was feeling especially desperate because I hadn't had any for about 30 years, then I might consider it. Briefly, why do you ask?
Well, the wife came round today, asking if you'd take him out to the pictures.
Well, that's very nice, but I've got other things on my mind just now.
You need the help of a wizard. That's the only way I can see you getting out of this alive.
We do know a hedge wizard.
Ha! Hedge wizard? Good luck on you. I won't bother putting the tea on, Ken. No offence, but it will save me a job if you don't make it back.
I love bath time. I especially enjoy playing with this funny little rubber submarine thing.
Chuck.
Yeah?
That's not a submarine.
Oh. Sorry.
And so it was that Ken and Dong, the two pixies, hired the help of a local hedge wizard in order to finish the job on time. Interestingly, I knew a guy on the inside called a wizard. He made someone safe disappear.
I shall forgive you for the job centre incident. Just don't save the... Oh, knickers!
What's wrong now, Rent-A-Wizard? Hello? Can you hear me down there?
Bleeding pipes don't meet!
Well, you measure them, you stupid pointy-hatted amateur sorcerer. What is an edge wizard anyway? Hypnotised chaffinches?
If you must know, it's alternative wizardry. We use plants and natural things to do magic, instead of chemicals and artificial substances.
Magic with roughage.
Sorcery with seeds and...
He uses an organic wand.
Look, just push down harder.
I'm trying to, you wizened up, long-bearded, incontinent, yellow, stained-edged creeper has been. Why don't you just use some of your precious magic on it?
You can't use magic on toilets. You can't just go around using your magic willy-dilly. Magic is only for serious things.
This seems pretty serious to me, you wily old turd. It's going to seem more serious too when Chancellor Goon turns up with his cleaver and skillet.
Now, all right. Let's just concentrate on the plumbing here. If we don't get the royal flush fix, we could end up with a full house.
What we need is more force pushing down so you downstairs can get the bolts on.
But how?
I have a plan, fellas. One of you two romantics has got to get someone heavy to sit on the convenience. You get my drift?
Yeah. Dong, you can seduce one of those fairies back here and somehow get her to...
Sure, you could do it. I mean, after all...
No, I could. It's not very nice down here below the floorboards.
Look, they're hard up, wizard, but they're not desperate. Save your sexuality for the hedgehogs.
Right, I've got it. We'll turn next door into a cosy little dining room. Chuck, you raid the royal pantry. Dong, you dress up as a waiter.
What about me?
You wait below with your wrench.
What's a wrench?
It's where South African cowboys live.
And so, not for the first time, if you believe what's written on the toilet wall, Ken went off to find a fairy.
I love cakes too. They're great, aren't they?
Oh, yes.
Sugar Plum, I know a nice little private dining club here at the palace where I work. If you'd like to go. They've got cuckoo spit wine. We could get drunk together and then find an enchanted dell and shag like rabbits.
Oh, Ken, you're so romantic.
Follow me, darling.
Ah, madame et monsieur, I have a table just for you.
Please, allow me.
Posh, you're in it.
Only the best for you, dear.
Please, for you today we have cakes, chips, lard au gratin avec le butty de bacon.
Oh, lovely.
And may I say, Mr. Winkle, it's so lovely that you finally find yourself a nice fairy at last. She's more big-boned than I'd have imagined, but anyway, it's a good job you're not wearing red, dear, or I might have tried to post a letter in your mouth.
Forgive the waiters, dear. They're a bit eccentric.
Well, they say there are three fairies for every pixie in this town, Mr. Winkle. You've just got yours all in one lump.
Okay, that's enough. Let's not push her luck.
Monsieur, I was just thinking that if you marry, you'll need someone to give away as the bride. May I suggest Hercules?
Don't listen to them, Sugar Plum. I love you for what's inside.
Which is most of my pantry at the moment.
Waiter, bring me two goblets and a gallon keg of cuckoo spit wine from the cellar.
Very good, monsieur.
Smack bang wallop, some time later.
More wine, Sugar Plum?
Oh, I shouldn't really. I've drunk so much and... it's so easy to take advantage of me when I'm ripped to the gills on cuckoo spits.
Just one more, my love. The chef makes this wine here at the palace, you know. He's a bit of a whiz with it. There's a secret ingredient, leeks and peas. I think it's number one, don't you? Call me a drip, but I've been besting to let you try it. You do like it, don't you?
Yes, it's lovely.
Oh, what a relief. It would have been a pisser if you thought it was wee-wee.
No, I like it.
They get a flood of requests for it. They slashed the price of it too, which is great for poor squares like me.
Excuse me, but where's the...
The fire station, the public art gallery?
No, the...
It's just next door on the left.
Oh, I'll be right back.
Missing you already.
Oh.
And she's off. Let's get downstairs and tell the wizard.
Right.
Get ready with those bolts, wizard.
I'm ready.
The wizard, wearing brown dungarees and clutching tightly at his wrench, waited under the pipe what was poking through the ceiling. They all listened as heavy footsteps passed overhead. Then, with an odd creaking sound, the pipe through the ceiling lowered by several inches due to the weight of the bird what was sat on the throne.
Quick, before she flushes.
Get those bolts on.
It's done. It's done!
Good job, Edge Wizard.
With the waste pipe now much lower, the two pipes fitted snugly and easily together. The job was a good un.
Where's Ken gone? He said we were going to shag like rabbits.
Hey, looks like he's gone to pick his nose and given you the flick.
What do you mean?
He's made like a pair of cheap pixie trousers and split.
Oh, I don't understand.
Okay, I'll spell it out. If he'd bought you a spacesuit and a packed lunch, would you take the hint?
And with that, our story is almost at an end. except that, as it turned out, Ken and Dong were hired to perform one last royal duty.
You join us at this most solemn of royal funerals. It's a sad day indeed, most especially for the princess and her family. And here they are, leading the procession, dressed entirely in black, Princess Twinkle there, accompanied by her father, the king, dressed for some reason entirely in yellow. To my right, a choir of Smurfs are providing the music. It's the Royal Requiem in C minor, written in 1856 by Brian from Magic Roundabout, originally for the state funeral of Zebedee, who, as you may recall, in the summer of that year, tragically sprang up into a ceiling fan. Over at the back, silent prayers being offered by Sooty. And Snow White there looks to be feeling sleepy, and Sleepy seems to be feeling her right back. And here come the bearers of the deceased, plumbers to the crown, Mr. Kane Winkle, and his good friend and colleague, Mr. Dong Dingle, keepers of the sacred golden plunger and holy bleach. They approach with dignity. Between them, the late Prince Mullet, who sadly passed on in the night as he slept by the fire in a bucket of warm sand, which the princess had prepared so lovingly. Chancellor Goon now stands to address the mourners.
We are gathered here today to pay final respects to a beloved royal suitor and fish. In his short life, he managed to do very little. He had few, if any, friends, due mainly to his repugnant stink. The princess was very fond of him, so we must be fond of him too. Don't know why, that's royalty for you. The king has prepared some final words.
Goodbye, little fishy. We bid you farewell. Goodbye to your slime. Goodbye to your smell. We didn't know you all that well, but we knew you well enough to know we didn't like you.
And with those moving ceremonial words still ringing in the air, the plumbers to the crown approach the designated final resting place, there to lay down the body of the dear departed. And now they await the final bugle call.
Fairyland by Tim Yokel.
Ken was played by Eugene Murphy.
Dong by Michael Spitzer.
Tim Yokel was the storyteller.
David Hooper was the King and the Lauren Testine.
Michael Towner, Chuck and Dimbleby.
And Julian Powis, Hedge Wizard and Mrs. Winkle.
Goon was played by Kieran Allen.
The Princess by Jenny Simmons.
Trixabelle by Michelle Singer.
And Sugarplum by Lucinda Mason Brown.
Other characters were played by
Debbie Nesbitt,
Peter McLaughlin,
Ailish Kavanagh,
and Tom Ward.
The Fairyland singers were
Gillian Speed,
Janine Meyer-Smith,
Ellen Miles,
Ernie Defenza,
and Charlotte Simon.
Alan Morgan was studio manager and editor.
Fairyland was produced by Tim Yokel and Charlotte Simon.